water and zip a knife. The street preachers of the Old Testament.
It's an amazing book, brother.
All of them were street preachers. Even in the New Testament, most of them were street preachers.
This book will not be denied. Mm-mm. It'll stand after everything else has fallen.
Okay, we're in chapter 2, and I got verse 8 marked. We got down to verse 8. Okay, verses 8 through 11 deal with Moab and Ammon.
Where'd they come from?
Now, here's where they came from. These two nations came from the two sons of Lot through incest with his daughters.
Right.
That's where these nations came from.
Yeah.
The four Gentile nations in the chapter are African nations from Ham. So they're brothers, as they say today, you know, bros.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what they say. Yeah, that's where they talk today.
Yeah,
that's true. Lot's two daughters had an Egyptian mother. Ishmael had an Egyptian mother. Look at the verse, Genesis 16:3 talks about his mother. Abraham married a Hamite. And now Egypt is in Africa, in case you forgot. It's an African nation. Genesis 16:3. Genesis 16:3 talks about Ishmael's mother. Genesis 16:3. See, what's all this got to do with today? I'm going to show you here in just a minute. Genesis 16:3. And Sarah, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband, Abram, to be his wife. So that's where Ishmael came from. Look at verse 11. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Behold, thou art with child, and shalt bear a son, and shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. All right, now Esau, Jacob's brother, marries into the line of Ishmael and Canaan. And his descendants they populate Edom. And Edom also has an African heritage. Now, the day, this territory here that they're talking about back in the Old Testament, today, the territory of Ishmael is Arabia and Jordan. Those two countries today are those two nations back in the Old Testament. And you know they're 100% Muslim. 100% Muslim. Now, the judgments pronounced in Zephaniah 2 are against the Islamic nation. And the Islamic nation is 100% anti-Semitic. They hate the Jews. They're going to try to annihilate Israel, try to do away with every Jew on the planet. Now, this thing, Islamic nation, that's news media talk. That's all you hear on the news media. Islamic nation. The Islamic nation. No such thing as an Islamic nation. 12 nations over there are 100% Muslim. And they're talking about the whole thing. They call it the Islamic nation. That's just news media talk. No such thing as an Islamic nation. That whole area over there, the whole 12 countries are Islamic. Okay, that's what's going on in Zephaniah 2. So we'll go into a little detail here, verse 8. Zephaniah 2, verse 8. I have heard the reproach of Moab and the revelings of the children of Ammon, whereby they have reproached my people and magnified themselves against my border, against their border. Now, the border here is, you won't get this in school. None of your kids will get this in school. None of us got it in school. Genesis 12:3 says, I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And too bad our government leaders and our congressmen and representatives are not Bible students.
Right.
boy, we'd be in a whole lot better shape if they were Bible
students.
That's
true, Brother Mike.
And knew what their laws and their judgments was going to bring on. In 1921, Churchill created what is called Transjordan today. You hear about all this stuff in the news, Transjordan. That's simply the country of Jordan right now, what that's talking about. He took land that belonged to the Jewish tribes of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, and he gave it to the Muslims. That's what Churchill, Winnie the Pooh, that's what he did. All right, after he'd done that, God sent the Japanese in, and they took Malay, Singapore, Borneo from the British Empire. Then he sent Gandhi in, and he took India away, and the British Empire crumbled after that. That was the end of the British Empire, after they lost India. He sent the communists into South Africa even after that, and he took Rhodesia. They took Rhodesia away from Great Britain. And Churchill didn't have a clue why all that happened.
Right.
Didn't have a clue. If he'd have been a Bible student, he'd have known not to take Israel's land and give it to the Arabians.
That's right.
He'd have known not to do that. And because he did it, the British Empire failed. Now, you remember back under Bush Jr., Bush made them. He made Israel give away the Gaza Strip and the West Bank.
Hurricane Katrina.
Hurricane Katrina set in, and then no telling what else is going to happen because of that.
Right.
We took land from Israel and give it to the Muslims. Now they tried to make them give away the Golan Heights, and Israel would not go along with that. I mean, they would have went to war over that because the Golan Heights is a strategic area. If the ragheads could have got the Golan Heights, they could wipe Israel out from the top of those hills over there where the Golan Heights were. But we took the land from Israel and gave it to the Muslims, and this country suffered several disasters since. Economic collapse.
Right.
Your house is worth probably $20,000 less than it was 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I had my house appraised a while back. I was going to try to sell it. And I had it appraised 20 years ago. It appraised for $70,000. I had it appraised again last year, and it appraised for $62,000. It went downhill.
Right.
And I asked that guy, I said, what's going on? He said, all of them's down. He said, all of them down. I said, man, I got a brand new air conditioner in this thing, central heating air. I got a brand new furnace on this thing. I said, I got some new windows put in. He said, that don't mean anything.
Right.
He said, an air conditioner is an air conditioner. He said, don't matter if it's 20 years old or a day old. He said, it appraises for the same amount of money. And the economic crash is what's caused all that. And no telling what else this country's in for. You don't mess with Israel, folks. If you mess with Israel, you ask for trouble.
Amen.
Now they're blinded right now. And they're going to go through.
Right.
They're going to go through a horrible, horrible time in tribulation. But let God do it. We don't have any business messing with Israel. We need to back them all the way.
Amen.
We need to back them all the way.
Who gave them that land?
God gave them that land.
That's right.
God.
That's
gave
the bottom line right there.
Some maps show the land that all the tribes have. The 12 tracts of land that the tribes have. And if you've got one of those maps. You got a map like that in the back of your Bible, I believe, shows that. And you can see the land that they give away that belonged to Israel.
Mm-hmm.
But 2 Samuel 8:3 gives us a picture of something here. We're going to look at that. 2 Samuel 8:3 gives us a picture of something that's going to take place. 2 Samuel 8, verse 3 says, okay, David smote also Hadadezer, the son of Rehob, king of Zobah, as he went to recover his border at the river of Euphrates. Now that's a picture of Jesus coming back at the second advent and taking all this land back for the Jews. That's what that's a picture of. That's what that's showing us. In the millennium, Christ is going to recover the land and give it back to the Jews. At the second advent, he's going to take it all back. They're going to get back Palestine, plus they're going to get the land that they took away, which includes northern Egypt. Northern Egypt belongs to Israel, but they give it away.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to get northern Egypt, They're going to get Sinai, they're going to get Syria, they're going to get Jordan, and they're going to get half of Iraq. God's going to give all that back to the Jews.
Right.
And you say, why do we care? That stuff's on deck, folks. That stuff's coming up.
That's right.
And before this takes place, we're out of here.
That's right.
We're out of here. We're going to be gone. When this stuff takes place, Second Advent, we're coming back with him.
Right.
We're going to see all this happen.
Yeah. We're going to watch all this.
Yeah, we have a front row seat.
That's right.
Now, when this takes place, there won't be anything left of the UN and the Islamic nations to say or do anything about it. Nobody can say or do anything about it. Genesis 15:18 says, and this is coming out of the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is the Old Testament's up to date as yesterday or this morning's newspaper was.
Amen.
I mean, this stuff's going to take place. And they was talking, these prophets were talking about it. And if you got a date in your middle of your Bible, you see how many thousand years back they was talking about this thing. And it's going to take place. Genesis 15:18.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody read that if you got it.
In the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates, the Kenites, the Kesuzites, the Cadmonites, Hittites, the Perizzites, Rephathims, and Amorites, and the Canaanites, the Girgashites, and the Jebusites.
They're going to get it all back. And right now those places are 100% Muslim, Israel's enemies. That takes in Egypt, Syria, Sinai, Jordan, and half of Iraq. They're going to get all that back in the millennium. That's on deck. That's coming up. And we're going to get to see it. We're going to get to watch it. All right, verse 9. Therefore, as I live, saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, surely Moab shall be as Sodom, and the children of Ammon as Gomorrah, even the breeding of nettles and salt pits in a perpetual desolation. The residue of my people shall spoil them, and the remnant of my people shall possess them. You know, you hear tribulation. you read tribulation in the New Testament. We talk of tribulation. We talk of Advent. We talk of millennium.
Mm-hmm.
But the New Testament don't give a tenth of the details of all those things as the Old Testament gives.
Right.
You get a lot of your details in the Old Testament, and a lot of denominations don't even believe it's going to take place.
Right.
They don't believe that there's going to be a tribulation. They don't believe that there's going to be a millennium. They don't believe there's going to be a rapture.
Right.
They don't believe there's going to be a second advent. And there's thousands of details about those things in the Old Testament. And I just wonder when they're reading and things, what they apply it to. It's not past history. It hasn't happened.
Have an eyes they see not, brother.
No, they'll spiritualize it. I don't know how to get around it. See it. If they read their Bible. Yes, somebody say something.
It's happening today.
Right.
You look at that deal with Iran.
Right, yeah.
I mean, you don't get no more biblical than that.
Right. Now, I heard about that, but I hadn't heard any details. I just picked up a little bit along the way, but I knew that some of our congressmen were upset, and I knew Israel was upset. Anybody know what that took in?
Basically says that in 10 years, the Iranian people will be able to have enough to make a nuclear bomb, and the first thing they're going to do is use it on Israel. And the head leader, he come out and said as much.
Yeah. Oh yeah, they made it public that they'd try to blow Israel off the map. But I hadn't heard any details. I just heard that they worked out something and everybody was happy.
They all stood up, said death to Americans,
death
to Israel. That's the first thing they said as soon as they signed.
Yeah.
But how are they going to succeed with that when Israel belongs to God?
Well,
they're going to try.
They might try, but now you see, Israel's got the Daniel 70th week to finish up. That'd be 3.5 years
of right.
Great tribulation. And it's going to be rough for Israel. They're going to almost be annihilated. They're going
right.
to almost be completely wiped off the face of the earth. But that's judgment coming.
You're talking about people who believe it's past history. The ones I can't figure out is the ones who believe this thing's going to get better and better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, worse under the end.
Live,
all millennialists, is that what they...
Yeah, all millennialists.
Yeah, I don't...
See, all millennials, pre-millennials, and post-millennials. Yeah.
Yeah.
All millennials don't believe there's going to be any millennials.
No,
post-millennials believe that we're going to get everything fixed up, get everything done, instead of Christ doing it.
Right.
And then we're pre-millennial. We believe that we go out of here before. Now, we believe that Christ comes back and fixes things up before the thousand-year reign.
Right.
That's what we believe. In case you didn't know that, that's what you believe.
Appreciate you clarifying.
You're a premillennialist.
Yeah.
I remember the singer sings, him and his wife and his daughter, song, Making This Trip for You.
King.
Yeah, Raymond King. First time I ever met him was out here. He came sung, and it was between Sunday school and church. And he walked up to me and Brother Eddie. We stood over talking. You remember that, Brother?
Mm-hmm.
He walked right up. He said, I never said a word to him in my life. I didn't know him. He said, I want to ask you a question. I said, okay. He said, are you people around here premillennial? I said, yes, we are. We're premillennial. That's the first question he ever asked me. Okay, we're premillennial. All right, this place, Ammon, Moab, is going to be like Sodom and Gomorrah. God's going to burn the Islamic nation. News media talk. Matter of fact, there's 12 of them. God's going to burn the Islamic nation like he burned Sodom and Gomorrah. They don't have much to look forward to, do they? Look what the Bible says in Jude 7 about Sodom and Gomorrah. Jude 7.
Flaming fire.
Yeah. Even in Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Now that's where the Islamic nation's headed. That's what's in store for them. At the second advent, Jesus Christ is going to burn Moab and Ammon like he burned Edom. This perpetual desolation. Over there right now in that area, there's a place called the Dead Sea. That thing's dead. There's some kind of judgment on that thing. And that whole region over there is useless. It's useless. And that's the way Ammon and Moab's going to wind up after this thing's over with. And notice he says he's going to spoil them, and the remnant of my people shall possess them.
Mm-hmm.
So the remnant of verse 7 looks like they're going to get to do a little mopping up when the Lord comes back at the second advent. They're going to get to help him. Looks like that the oppressed remnant are going to get a little retaliation, going to be able to get a little payback. That's what it looks like. And to me, that's a good deal. That's a good deal. You know, today, in most cases, a payback is not allowed. Not allowed. Criminals are protected today. The victims should be allowed payback. Instead, victims, if a victim retaliates, they're prosecuted.
Right.
And most of the time, if a victim can prove self-defense, the courts will still bankrupt him. A fellow told me a while back that he heard about a shooting. A guy shot a man self-defense. He was in the right. And he said it cost him $10,000 in court costs to keep him going to prison over it. Now, that's crazy. But I'm like my old buddy of mine used to say, he's dead and in heaven now. I'd rather be tried by 12 than carried by 8. Anytime. So I'll take my chances in the courts. He's going to possess them. The Jews are going to get everything the Jordanians have. Everything they've got. Right? You know, the Jordanians, they're oil rich right now. Oil rich. I mean, billions and billions and billions. I mean, the money those guys are making on oil is unbelievable. And the stuff they own over there. They got Israel's land. They got Israel's minerals, see? When they give away that land.
Mm-hmm.
But when this thing's over with, the Jews are going to get everything they've got. And any of those Jordanians or those Arabs or those Muslims that are left alive, after the Lord's blowtorch goes through that place, they're going to serve the Jew. That thing's going to be completely turned around. They're going to serve the Jew. Muslims hate Jesus Christ.
Right.
If you got a copy of the Quran, you can skim through that thing. You see what they think about Jesus Christ. And you know what they think about Christ. They say he didn't die. They say he wasn't God's son. They said he died of old age somewhere in some Arabian city. He was just another man. They don't have any time for Jesus Christ. They hate him. But after Armageddon, they're going to bow down their faces to the dust and kiss the feet of Christ when this thing's over with.
Amen.
And if they don't do it, they're going to be destroyed. He's going to destroy them if they don't come to Jerusalem, to the temple, and bow down and kiss his feet. Boy, that's good stuff.
Yeah.
Psalm 72:9. Look at this. You know, when you're reading through your Bible and you read these verses, sometimes you wonder what they're talking about. Here's what they're talking about. Psalm 72:9. They're gonna bow down on their faces in the dust to Jesus Christ. They're doing it to Allah now.
Yeah.
Under the guidance of a Muhammad. Mm-hmm. You ever seen them pray?
Yeah.
Boy, I've seen them. Yeah. And man, I tell you what, they won't stop for nothing. Yeah, I was in a filling station at Monkville a while back, and one of them, I went in to one of these prayer times. I was buying a bag of ice. I was going fishing. I was in a hurry. And it was before daylight. And I walked in to pay for that ice, and that guy was on his rug. Mm-hmm. And he was carrying on some kind of crazy stuff.
Yeah.
He'd get up, look up, and there I was standing there with my money. Hey, buddy.
Yeah.
He'd get up. He was carrying on. And that went on for about 15 minutes. I stood there and waited for that guy. My wife was in the truck. She was with me. We was going fishing. And I said, heck with this, buddy. I just get free ice today, so I left.
Yeah.
And the wife, she said, well, I shouldn't leave. I said, I ain't got time to put up that nonsense. She went back the next day and paid for the ice, which I wouldn't have let her if I'd have known it. Anyway, they're gonna get down on their face before Jesus Christ. They're gonna get down on their knees.
Every knee is gonna bow.
And they're gonna get down on their face, and they're gonna kiss the feet of somebody they cannot stand.
Yeah.
But boy, they'll have a change of attitude after they see what he does at the Second Advent. If he destroys that place over there, they'll probably have a change of attitude. Psalm 72:9. Psalm 72:9. They that dwell in the wilderness shall bow before him, and his enemies shall lick the dust. That's what's going to happen. Look at Psalms 2:9-12.
Yeah.
I think I got a right reference there.
That's
Psalms 2:9-12. That's what these verses are talking about here. This is going to take place the Second Advent. Psalms 2:9-12. You know, when I first started reading the Bible after I got saved, I'd come across these verses and I didn't have a clue what they were talking about. But that, I said, what are you getting down on the dirt and kissing somebody's feet for? I didn't have a clue, but now that I've been studying the Scriptures for 40 years, you see what's going on now. Psalms 2:9-12. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron,
mm-hmm.
and shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Second Advent, folks. Be wise now, therefore, ye kings. Too bad the kings don't listen to this today.
True.
Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Too bad the Supreme Court judges won't be instructed.
Yeah.
Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry.
Mm-hmm.
And ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but little. Blessed are they that put their trust in him. Now, if they don't come down and worship God, or worship Jesus Christ, get down on their face and kiss his feet, he's going to destroy them. They're going to be wiped out.
Now, you read verse 2 of that same chapter, Psalms 2. It says, the kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord, against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords. That's impossible.
That's impossible to do, but they think they can do it.
They think somehow they can erase the history of the one that came down from heaven and left. Paul said the same wasn't done in no corner. Left a record that even God bears witness with a record. The fact his son was there. He said, this is my beloved son whom I'm well pleased. There's no erasing that.
That's
I don't care
plan,
how they rewrite it.
That's their plan, but the plan's going to be turned around. It's going to happen to them. Verse 10. This shall they have for their pride, because they have reproached and magnified themselves against the people of the Lord of hosts. Against the people. They're going against the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
Reaping of verse 8. They're going to reap of what they've done in verse 8.
Terrible price to pay.
The reproach. They're going to be destroyed. The reaping of verse 8. Sowing and reaping. Jeremiah 48:2 talks about. Jeremiah talks about this thing right here.
Revelation 6 goes to
Jeremiah 48:2 talks about this thing here, the reaping. Jeremiah 48:2. There shall be no more praise of Moab. Now notice it said over here in verse 10, this shall they have for their pride.
Mm-hmm.
Those people are proud.
Right.
They're proud now. They're going to try to take the whole planet. They're going to try to rule the whole planet. Mm-hmm. That's what they're out to do.
They're trying to take America right now.
Yeah. Yeah, they're working on it. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I'm looking for 48:2. There shall be no more praise of Moab. In Heshbon, they have devised evil against it. Come and let us cut it off from being a nation. Also, thou shalt be cut down. Now look how the Lord describes these Muslims, old mad men.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he calls them. And boy, has it got them pegged. Has it got them pegged or what? I mean, you take a man and strap 10 sticks of dynamite to his head, walk in a restaurant, and say, oh, he's mad. He's got a mental problem.
Yeah. I think he can get 70 virgins and 4 or 5 rivers of honey.
Yeah.
I mean,
4 or 5 rivers of honey.
Yeah.
And God, he described it. Too.
People yeah. crazy. That's
mad.
He described Ishmael. Oh,
yeah. Yeah. Also, thou shalt be cut down, old mad man. The sword shall pursue thee.
Yeah.
Look at verse 8. And the spoiler shall come upon every city, and no city shall escape. The valley also shall perish, and the plain shall be destroyed, as the Lord has spoken.
Mm-hmm.
Look at verse 29 and 30. We have heard, there it is. Now verse 10 said, because of their pride. But look at verse 29. We have heard the pride of Moab. The pride of Moab.
Mm-hmm.
He is exceeding proud. His loftiness and his arrogancy and his pride and his haughtiness of his heart. I know his wrath, saith the Lord, but it shall not be so. His lies shall not so affect it. 42. And Moab shall be destroyed from being a people. There it is. That hadn't happened yet.
Yeah.
Moab's still a people.
Yeah.
And Moab shall be destroyed from being a people because he hath magnified himself against the Lord. So that's what's in store for Moab and Ammon coming up.
I just wonder if the people of Moab really actually know or realize that they're all put back hundreds of generations ago. I just wonder if they know that their incest, their ancestors were incest.
That's where they come from? They yeah. know their history?
Yeah.
They probably don't. If they've heard of it, they probably deny it.
But they probably just have to look in the mirror or whatever,
Okay,
they
got
3 eyes on one side of their head and one down here.
Oh. back then, though, that wasn't a problem. That wasn't a problem until after the law was given.
Yeah, they said.
After the law was given.
Yeah, we got 10 fingers of hope.
We all come from
got six on one hand, four on another.
After the law,
after
the law, brothers and sisters couldn't marry because of genetic problems.
Right.
And even now, in some states of America, you can't even allow to marry a third cousin.
But you follow that thing back to Adam and Eve, it's hard to keep from saying we didn't come from incest.
Right. True,
the way it was.
Until the law.
She's the mother of all living.
Yeah. Changed. Somehow, after the law, it started affecting DNA and caused problems like that. And that's why they changed it now. You can't marry. So, like I said, some states won't let you marry as far as third cousins.
Right.
That's making a change.
It's already changed.
Yeah.
After this queer thing, it's all making a
change. Yeah. They might want their rights, might be.
That's right.
There's one guy petitioned up there in Arizona wants to marry his St. Bernard.
That's what you are,
Yeah.
That's what they
call people crazy.
I'm about to marry my dog. I have to feed it anyway. I'll get it off in the back.
Yeah. He wants to claim it to people
crazy. Yeah.
I left a chihuahua or something like that.
Well, y'all didn't mean we got to quit. Sorry, I'm already peeing, bro.